Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR in More Than Money. Faisal, we've heard a lot of problems in seniors and long-term care facilities
across this country.
Yeah, across the country. They're a hotbed of, you know, of the problem in a very exposed population in there. So we thought we would do a segment on that and talk a little bit about, you know, what we can do as people to protect those that are most vulnerable and what's being done to protect them.
Yeah, it's a two-way. What can the family members of the individual who's in those facilities and what's the government side going to be able to do and the healthcare side be able to do? So I think that's a good conversation to have. I think it's important. And that's why we have Dr. Jim Sylvia as Provincial Medical Director, Seniors Health. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Jim, we've got a bit of a problem, or at least, you know, the media is presenting that we've got a vulnerable population and there are some instances where we've got a problem there. Maybe you could just bring us up to speed on the precautions that are being put in place to protect those most vulnerable, you know, during this time.
Sure. So early on in the process, it became apparent that this was a disease that has significant implications for people who are older or who have chronic illnesses. And we recognize that people in our congregate care settings, which include long-term care and supportive living and others, are much at risk if they are exposed to COVID and develop an infection with COVID. So early on, the steps that we took were to consider how best to try to protect COVID from actually getting into any of our sites. And that has led to a series of progressive restrictions that have been put in place. So, for example, people are very well aware that we have limited visitors, and that's not because we want to be difficult. It's because we know that visitors are out in the real world and coming in, and we'll bring in with them what they've been exposed to, and it's one of our key strategies for trying to keep COVID out of our settings. One of our others now is that we are restricting staff to only working at one site because we also are aware that staff who travel between sites could potentially take COVID with them. And we don't obviously want to have somebody who has been exposed to COVID bringing that into a site who is a staff member that works there. We've also looked at what we need to do when a site does have somebody who tests positive, either as a resident or as a staff member. And there's been a fair amount of work done around what the containment, as we call it, is that needs to be put in place to prevent the infection from spreading within the facilities. And that has actually been fairly successful in many of our facilities, even though we recognize that there are some where it has been more widespread and regrettably, of course. And unfortunately, there have been some deaths.
What I'm going to extend the conversation just a little bit. That's care facilities. But Faisal, you know, at the top of the hour, you're talking about your dad as an example. He's home alone, and there'll be people that have home care coming in. And Jim, maybe you can speak to that. Are there different precautions? Are there different issues that presents versus, say, a long-term care facility?
Sure. So we recognize that people who are receiving home care equally may be vulnerable because they have underlying chronic conditions and are susceptible to COVID and to the complications that come from COVID. So this is evolving, but what we had put in place early on was that there would be what we call an ILI, screen at the door, so somebody's being screened for an infectious disease. And if they were screened positive, then appropriate precautions, including use of personal protective equipment on the part of the home care worker, would be put in place. That has now been extended, and we are now masking, and that should be in place across the province. It was supposed to be fully implemented by, I believe, yesterday or the day before. Mm-hmm. It should be in place, and the mask is really there to help to protect both the worker and the resident who is being seen to try to prevent spread of COVID into that environment. We are screening at the door for not only the person that we're seeing, but also for other family members or others who may be in the house, because obviously they also could be a potential source of COVID infection. So that's where we have gotten to at this point in time in terms of how we're trying to protect people who are receiving home care. We recognize that this may well evolve over time as we learn more about this infection and how it spreads.
How is that all set up for the home care side? Is it the home care professional who's getting this all set up with the ILI, or is it, how do homes know this?
So it's an ILI screen. So when I get to the door, so if I'm a home, if I'm going to be coming in to provide a home care service and I'm phoning you to set up an appointment, I will do a questionnaire over the phone with you to determine whether or not there are some risks that may be apparent. If the, and ILI stands for influenza-like illness, just, I didn't say that earlier and should have. So they'll screen for an ILI. If there is nothing positive, then they will go out to do the visit, but they will be masked when they do the visit. And when they get to the door, they will again repeat some basic questions to ensure that there's not been a change from the time the visit was being booked. Not all visits are booked over the phone. There are regularly scheduled visits from workers that occur. And in those circumstances, they will do the screen when they get to the front door, and they will, before they come in, they will ask the questions. And the real intent of that is so that if they need to do something beyond masking, they then can go back to their vehicle, get what they need to in terms of personal protective equipment to come into the home, and then they will come into the home and provide the service.
I can just imagine when there's the time that we can actually just do an actual test, mm-hmm. not just a questionnaire, mm-hmm. but, you know, like, it's like a diabetes check. You get a prick of your finger and you can find out right away. If when we get something like that, something that can be tested in the home, yep. then you know your family members can see you. You know if your health mm-hmm. professional can see you. I think that's where it'd be interesting to see what happens. Jim, when it comes to the other side of things, now let's talk about family members and individuals. What can we do to help out our members of our family that might be in a long-term care facility, home care, whatever it may be? In some cases, I'm hearing that some individuals want to pull their parents or loved ones out of a long-term care facility.
Take them home
because they're scared, right?
Sure.
So what do individuals do at this point?
Sure. So there's several questions there. If we are, as a family member, it depends on the environment that I'm going into. So if I'm seeing another family member at home who's on home care, if I'm sick, I better not be going over there because you don't know what you're sick with and you don't know if you're going to infect the person who we're trying to protect. On the other hand, if you're looking at a long-term care or a congregate site, we have restricted visitors now to what we're calling essential visitors. So people who can be designated to come in if they're needed to provide some care for an individual that can't be provided by the center, or when somebody is dying. And we are still trying to better identify what it means when somebody is dying, and it sounds like that should be a simple concept, and it's not. When you start looking at it, it is critically important that visitors recognize and respect the fact that the limitations are there for a reason, and it truly is to try to protect not only their loved one, but also others who may be living in the same place as their loved ones. In terms of taking people home, there has been a lot of discussion, and I'm sure people are aware that there were statements made a week or two back about taking your loved one out of a care center. There was another radio show that was on Thursday where the question was asked about whether or not that was appropriate in Alberta and BC, and the person, the expert who was on the line said it's a bit of a different situation out here because we have been more successful in containing the outbreaks in many of our centers. Having said that, I know there's fear out there, and if you do want to take your loved one home, there are some things that you truly need to consider before you do that, one of which is the amount of care that will be required and where that care could be accessed. And so we are making the recommendation that you don't take somebody out unless you've had a thorough discussion and truly understand what you're doing. And what the requirements are going to be with the care team and with the site that you want to take your loved one home from.
I think that is super important. Absolutely. Message to take away. This is about planning and preparation, right? And it's about balance. We've talked about this on a number of occasions. There are some risks no matter what you do, but you need to balance the entire equation out before you take action. Jim, I think that is right on the money. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
We've been joined by Dr. Jim Silvius, who's the Provincial Medical Director for Seniors Health.
You know, Dave, this is the time where people worried about some of their financial issues in retirement with long-term care, home care.
Yep.
How do you pay for all that? Yep. Things like this happen. How do we take care of that? How do we actually have these concepts and, more importantly, dedicate assets to protect your health care in the future as costs may be incurred? We'll talk about that on Tuesday, April 21st, 7 p.m. live online. but you have to register. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register. That's morethanmoneyradio.com.
If your portfolio's really been hit during this period, how do you fix it? Stick around after the break. We're going to talk about that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.